Hymn number 381, first and last verse. Thank you. Amen. Who wants to go next?
Which one? 77. All right. 77. How many verses? First two verses, 77.
Thank you.
right, God is great. Amen. All right, who wants to go next?
192.
192, how many verses?
One and the last
one. 192, first and last verse. Who wants to go next? Favorite song. Yes, sir.
600, 1 and 3.
600 verses 1 and 3. All right. Amen. We got time for one more song. Who wants to be the one to announce it? Anybody? Yes.
723
verses 1 through 4.
1 and 4.
Hey, I did that on purpose. I was just testing. Thank you. Hello. Hello, my name is Steve. Welcome to church today. Thank you for coming. And we will start our announcements. Please sign in on a red pad that's on your pew. July is filled with picnics, parties, games, and fun, good times, friends, and laughter in the sizzling summer sun. Oh yeah, thank you for whoever turned on the AC today. Your birthday is just as special as fireworks in the night, whether you like fireworks or not. May all your days and years be filled with pure delight. Happy birthday, Aletta Kirker. Happy birthday, David Moore, Ralph Snook, Tracy Brown, Linda Crabtree, Perry Way, Mary Brubaker, Young Char. Happy birthday. Yay. The July newsletter is available in the Narthex. Please contact the office if you have email and can read it online, or if you get one in the mail but can pick it up at the church instead. Donate a few boxes of cereals, since we are the cereal church, or other food items anytime can help. We will bring it at the end of the month to ICSC and can distribute it to families in need. Thank you very much. Please sign up for the next pastor's lunch this Wednesday, July 19th at noon, Legend 8 China Restaurant in Kalamasa. The special cost will be $10 per person for this luncheon. If you need transportation, please contact Pastor Phillips or Lauren in the church office. Second and fourth Sundays, children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of the fellowship time. Parents are welcome. It's a Hearts Grow. It's a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages, using the arts to connect us to the Creator. It's held in a children's church room. So if you know any children, bring them. Okay, 11 o'clock with pasta and bread. Watch and discuss The Chosen. This series is a fresh new take on Jesus and his disciples. A charismatic fisherman struggling with debt. A troubled woman wrestling with demons. A gifted accountant ostracized from his family and from his people. See how Jesus reaches all of these people, brings them into his ministry, and works his first miracles. This powerful series shows Jesus through the eyes of those who left behind their own lives to follow and know him. So please sign up to bring food for The Chosen. Need 3 people to bring food each week. There's a sign-up sheet with a food category for each week at the script table. Thank you for helping out. Okay, electronic waste drive, Saturday, July 29th. Just in time, my cell phone went out. My wife is taking my calls from work. So yeah, if you have anything like that you need to get rid of, there it is, July 29th, 9 a.m. to noon, or until the truck is full. So get here early. It's early bird gets a truck, right? Okay, the Mary Methodist trip to see Hello Dolly at Redlands Bowl on Saturday, July 29th at 2023, this year. We will meet in a church parking lot at 5:30 p.m. and carpool to the Redlands Bowl. Bring a picnic, supper, blanket, chairs, warm jacket. We'll get there by 6 o'clock, stake out a great place to watch, enjoy dinner and conversation until the show starts at 8 p.m. So yeah, come early to get a place. Sign up is in the fellowship hall. Okay, please join us now for the call to worship. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Okay, please sing the insert hymn, verses 1 through 3. I will sing of my Redeemer. Please pass the peace. Joins and concerns follow. Zoom can unmute if you want to speak.
We got a really nice card from Helen that's going to be in our August newsletter. So thanks, Helen. We'll share that.
Yep, it's on. Finally.
Now we can hear you.
So welcome, Helen. And she's our faithful members still joining our worship from all the way Chico. And welcome Joyce and June, April and Bill. Welcome back from a beautiful state of Colorado. We also want to welcome Susan. Susan, I don't know where she is. Is she Oregon or Washington, somewhere traveling? She's a world traveler now. Welcome, welcome.
Oh yeah, I got one right now. Yeah, my wife, she's allergic to fire season. I think she's got a headache. It started yesterday, so yeah, it looks like she didn't make it. So yeah, pray for Ann.
I'm going to give an update on Peggy. I try and keep up to date with Jerry, or some people call him Jack, that he's just concerned why she's not home yet. He's going to be 88 years old, so he misses her, that she has a cast on. And, you know, as we get older, it takes a little longer to heal, that normally it's 6 to 8 weeks. It could be longer for her. So just keep her in prayer. And I received in the mail from my lovely husband this cup. And it says, "Good morning, Lorene. I'll be handling all your problems. Thank you, God." And you know, this is the most uplifting cup, because every morning I have a cup of coffee and I have my devotions. And I say, "Okay, God, you said you're going to take all the problems. Here they are." Now, my main concern is, a few weeks ago, you all seen when Peggy fell out here, that all of us in here are seniors. There's a lot of widows, widowers in here that have no one. Or my main concern is an emergency contact. If it wouldn't have been for me knowing the Avons for over 50 years and having their numbers, when Peggy fell out here, to contact someone besides us calling 911, we need an emergency contact, even if they may be out of state or far away, to contact Susan Fell or Mary Fell, to where we can get a hold of your family and let them know. I feel it's very, very important, and I'm going to work with Deb and having the roster, and you can put an emergency contact. We don't want anything to happen to you, but God forbid, who do you want us to call? That it's really weighed, it's weighed heavy on my heart, because if I wouldn't have known, no one knew how to get a hold of Jerry and let him know Peggy had fallen out here. So if you can think about who you would want on this roster, to where we can keep it back there, to where if something happened, we know who to get a hold of. Thank you.
If I happen to fall during the service, I have a direct line to call, so don't worry about me.
Have you paid your bill?
Anyone else?
I also had a visit with Jerry this past week. Jerry's back home and said that his doctor finished the chemo treatment sooner than this past Friday. He was scheduled to complete it on Friday, but he was already done, because the white blood cell number went down good enough. So doctor felt that he didn't have to do that anymore. And interesting visit with his roommate. He had a 104 years old roommate. And I told Jerry, "Jerry, you have a great role model right here in your room." And you know what Jerry said? "Well, you know, Ed Elliott lives up to 106. He's ambitious." So pray for him.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. On the back of the bulletin today, I have several people on there that I've asked for prayers for. One is my brother, Bill. He had COVID. I think he's over it now, and I called him the other day to see if we could take his name off, and he said, oh, don't take my name off. I really love it that the Methodist Church in Yucaipa is praying for me. So I think he's going to be on there this week, but I think he's coming off. My sister Allison still has a lot of health concerns, but Emily, Wren, and Deanne, when we went to see them yesterday, they're all wonderful. I don't think they need special prayers, so, but keep praying for Allison. Thank you.
Anybody on Zoom, please raise your hand.
All right, now join us for our unison prayer.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all those God's people that have come to our life circle. Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at the world, this world is always in turmoil. And it is so good to have our refuge. Refuge where we can flee from all the business and affairs of this life, all the problems that we face in our daily living, and be alone with you and be at peace. And be reminded of the very fact that you have everything under your control, even though the world is filled with troubles. Give us this confidence in you, O Lord, that we may move on, fight on, and continue on. And with you in our life, O Lord, we can overcome any obstacles, and we can remove any barriers on our way with your help. It is so good to be here joining together with your people in this beautiful place. And it is so good to know there are people joining with us in different places. Even though we may be apart physically, we are united in spirit as one. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us here in this sanctuary, each and every one of us joining this worship together wherever they are. We are grateful, O Lord, for the manifestation of your power in our life. You have shown, you have proved your power, your presence over and over in our life. We experience your grace before, we experience it once more, and we know your grace will forever there be for us. As we go through many different stages of life, O Lord, we sometimes are discouraged, we sometimes have doubts about what you do in our lives. So, Lord Jesus, increase our faith so that no matter what happens to us, no matter what happened to this world, we may trust in you, rely upon your power, and believe that our needs will be met, and you will be there when we need your help. So, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to come and empower us and increase our faith. We ask your word to be spoken so that we may be reminded of your truth, that we may be fed spiritually today, that we may gain strength for the journey. Lord, we have brought our joys and concerns for ourselves and for our loved ones. You know our need even before we ask you. So, Lord, we lift up our hearts, we lift up our prayers, and pray, O Lord, that we will, without failing, experience your intervention in our lives. We will see with our own eyes how powerful you are working on our behalf. So as we entrust ourselves and our loved one into your care, we recommit ourselves to continue to carry out your will in this world, because you have called us as your disciples. And as you have the full control over our lives, over the life of our loved ones, we can trust in you, your plan upon our journey, and be able to focus on you and on serving your people. So, Lord, we now join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is Elmore, written by Holly Hobby. Elmore lived by himself in an ancient maple tree. He loved it there. Every few days he would climb down the huge tree trunk as darkness fell to graze on his favorite leaves and twigs. Then back he would go to his snug hollow in the ancient tree. Elmore was solitary. He lived alone, and you would think that he'd be used to that by now. But here's the thing. He often felt lonely. Solitude could be boring. He'd always had trouble making friends. What was the problem? After all, the L in Elmore's name, his mother once explained, stood for love. He put up a sign. Friends wanted. He was discouraged by what he overheard. He's too prickly. It's hard to be around him. Elmore shook his back and his quills rattled. It was true. If you got too close, you might get needled, nettled, pricked. Elmore didn't mean it. It just happened. He spent a rainy day holed up in the ancient tree, thinking about what to do. What could be done about his troublesome quills? They were there to protect him, like a coat of armor, but protect him from what? Elmore's life was peaceful. He was lucky. The next day, his old uncle happened to come shuffling along past Elmore's tree. Good morning, Elmore. A moment later, he said, You don't seem your usual cheerful self. Is something wrong? I wish I didn't have all these quills, Elmore explained. I'm too hard to be around. I have no friends. I'm your friend, his uncle smiled. "That's different," Elmore replied. "But you are a porcupine," his uncle stated emphatically. "You wouldn't be a porcupine without quills." "I know," said Elmore. "I've got hundreds and thousands of them." "You're a handsome porcupine," his uncle added. "Your quills are beautiful. You should treasure them." His uncle's kind words made Elmore feel better. Then, as he looked around the many quills scattered about his cozy dwelling, he had an idea. Elmore tied up each small cluster of quills with a bit of string. He posted another sign, "Elmore Quill Pens, 100% real porcupine quills, free." For 2 days, they went like hotcakes. Everyone could enjoy a quill pen, especially if it was made from 100% real porcupine quills, and free, too. They could make ink from berries, Elmore suggested, which was extra fun. "Everyone loves getting a note from a friend," he said as he handed out the bundles. By the time the glass quill pens were gone, Elmore was tuckered out, but most of all, he was happy. In the days that followed, he received all kinds of notes. It was exciting. "We love our quill pens. This is a picture of us. Let's be pen pals." One bright morning after the quill event, there was a big sign tacked to the trunk of Elmore's tree. "You are a beautiful porcupine. Our woods are lucky to have you. Your friends." The end. May we realize the gifts that God gave us and reach out to people to share in love. May we lower our expectations so we're not disappointed and take what God gives us with joy. Amen.
Amen. Please sing hymn 404, verses 1 through 2.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Upon the mountain my Lord spoke, out his mouth came fire and smoke. All around me looks so shine, as my Lord if all was mine. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Body, not the soul. Hang by one train on this track, runs to heaven and right back. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Right, our scripture reading will be from Joshua 5, verses 1 through 2, 12. When all the kings of the Amorites beyond Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted. There was no longer any spirit in them because of the Israelites. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites a second time." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, All the warriors had died during the journey through the wilderness after they came out of Egypt. Although all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people born on a journey through the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the Israelites traveled 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the warriors who came out of Egypt, had perished, not having listened to the voice of the Lord. To them the Lord swore that he would not let them see the land he had sworn to their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children, whom he raised up in their place, that Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised along the way. When the circumcising of all the nation was done, they remained in their places in their camp until they were healed. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so the place is called Gilgal unto this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they, the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and roasted grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land. The Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and those who hear it.
Good morning. So good to see you all. We may be small in number, but we know that where one or two are gathered together, presence of God is among us. Amen? So remember that God is with us this morning, and God is with you wherever you are. Methodists were once known to be very adamant about temperance, about, you know, staying away from drinking alcohol. A preacher in a rural Methodist church was winding up his temperance sermon with tremendous fervor. "If I had all the beer in the world," he roared, "I'd take it and throw it into the river." And the congregation was moved by the preacher's passionate message and unusually shouted, "Amen!" Feeling the congregation's receptivity of his message, the preacher continued, "If I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and throw it in the river." The congregation raised their voices even louder and said, "Amen!" Enjoying the enthusiastic responses, the preacher repeated the rhyme to conclude his message. "If I had all the whiskey and rum in the world, I'd take it and throw it in the river." The congregation then stood up and shouted, "Hallelujah!" With that, the confident preacher sat down. The liturgist then stood up very cautiously and announced, "For our closing song, let us sing hymn number 723, Shall We Gather at the River?" I was wondering if anybody was going to ask to sing this one during the hymn singing, and Deb did. Well, the Holy Spirit knew what the message was going to be. Shall we gather at the river? Gather to throw all the liquors they had into the river, or to drink from the river now turned into a cocktail? Maybe for both. The river in the hymn is the river in New Jerusalem that flows from the throne of Jesus. And of course, another river that we relate to the final stage of our earthly journey is Jordan River. It is based on Israel's story that their long journey in the desert ended as they crossed the Jordan River and entered their final destination. Joshua 5 writes that the first place Israel arrived in Canaan was a place called Gilgal in the plain of Jericho. What went on in Gilgal is profoundly related to the Messiah and has a God's message for us to hear. I actually haven't preached any message on this particular text out of like 40 years of ministry, and you might not heard any preaching on this text either. But this is a fascinating place, and I will share that all the fascination that I found with you this morning. But before we go into the text, let me share once more the biblical ground to look at the Old Testament from the messianic perspective. You know, it's not just this place. This is one of many in the entire Old Testament that speaks about the coming Messiah. The biblical ground that I found to look at the Old Testament from the messianic perspective is, to me, Luke 24. The resurrected Jesus appeared to the disciples twice on that day. He walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know that story. The two turned around and returned to Jerusalem after encountering Jesus and got together with the rest of the disciples. And Jesus appeared to them again on both occasions, right? On both occasions. Jesus told the disciples, the two disciples and the rest of the disciples, second time, that the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalm wrote about Jesus, wrote about him. The Old Testament, that is the Hebrew Bible, is divided into three major sections. You know the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, right? And the Nevi'im, called the prophets, and Ketubim, called the writings. So, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketubim, right? So, Torah is the first five books of the Bible. Nevi'im is the collection of all the prophets, book of the prophets, including the minor prophets. And the Ketubim is the rest of the writings, including Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Songs, Lamentation, Ecclesiastes, and Chronicles, and more. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalm Jesus mentioned were the major parts of the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketubim of the entire Hebrew Bible. You know, the Hebrew Bible that the Jewish people used is called the Tanakh. You know, why is it called the Tanakh? Tanakh is the word made by the initials of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketubim. That's Tanakh. That's a Hebrew Bible. So when they say Tanakh, that's the Old Testament, right? You know, I mean, they call it Tanakh, we call it Old Testament, but during Jesus' time, they didn't call the Old Testament that way, right? It may be, to me, to indicate the Old Testament, it might have been the way that Jesus did. The law of Moses, the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Psalm. Basically, what Jesus indicated in there, what Jesus said to the disciples was that entire Old Testament was filled with his prophecies, right? So we're going to look at the Word of God that we read from the same lens that Jesus gave, from the, I call it a messianic perspective. Now, Israel finally finished the desert life, crossed the Jordan River, and came to the land of Canaan to begin with, right? They had dreamt of that for 40 years. They purified themselves with circumcision and celebrated their first Passover in Canaan. So think about it, the Jordan River, crossing the Jordan River, and circumcision, and the celebration of Passover, all these three events are related to the saving work of the Messiah. Jesus leads us through the desert-like life and takes us to the promised land with his grace. Jesus gives us spiritual circumcision by creating a new heart and spiritual renewal within us. Jesus became the Passover lamb to save us from the bondage of sin and death on the very day of Passover. Right? So all those big events are related to the coming Messiah, called the foreshadowing of the Messiah. Now let's look at Gilgal. The name came from what God said to Israel in the plain of Jericho. Israel was prohibited from entering Canaan 40 years ago because they were afraid of the natives in Canaan, did not trust in God enough, and complained about the Exodus. So God became very angry, made them wander in the desert, and waited until all those 20 years and older at the time of Exodus died in the wilderness. That's why it was 40 years that it took. Those who came to Gilgal were a new generation, not like their faithless fathers. So God declared right there to them, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Gilgal means roll or roll away. That's what God did in that place. And Gilgal has a root for nouns such as Megillah, which means scroll, and Gullet, which means skull. If you put these three words together, and they describe salvific ministry of Jesus. Jesus sacrificed in Golgotha, the place of the skull, to roll away the penalty of sins and fulfill the scroll, the scripture. Gilgal also serves as a root word of many other words. Gel means heap or pile. Gula means bowl, basin, or spring. Gil means rejoicing. If you add these three words to those three words together, the work of the Messiah becomes even more apparent. It means this. Jesus became a spring to wash and roll away our sins at the place where there were piles of skulls, Golgotha, and fulfill the scripture so that the world could rejoice in him. That's what this one word Gilgal means, implies. Isn't that fascinating? Another very important segment of event in Gilgal was that God stopped giving manna there. God stopped giving manna there. What was the rationale for that? Canaan was the fertile ground with plenty of water, which means plenty of farmland. How fertile was the land? Well, we have the proof of that from the text today. In the plain of Jericho, about 2 million people could find enough to eat. When Israel came out of Egypt, there were about 600,000 men, men only, according to Exodus 12. The Numbers 26 says about the same number of Israel entered Canaan. So if you include the women and children, the total number would have been easily over 2 million. The land of Canaan produced crops so abundantly that the 2 million people did not need to rely on manna anymore. I mean, they were just in the, you know, plain. I mean, it wasn't probably that big plain. It was a small plain, but they were there and they could find plenty to eat. But think about it. What happened after that? Manna stopped. Now, that would have caused some problems. Stopping manna was a sudden change, and some people, or many people, might not have been ready for it and complained, as Israel did always. Why do you stop manna? You provided manna not just for a year or two, but 40 years. We went out and picked up manna every morning. Every morning, except Sabbath, for 40 years. This late daily routine is 4 decades old, and we want it to continue. Right? But God did not ask their opinions. He just stopped giving manna shortly after they arrived in Canaan. I mean, think about it. If you were a people of Israel, how would you have felt about that? You know, God has been faithful all this time for 40 years, and then all of a sudden you don't see the faithfulness of God, the very sign of God's faithfulness anymore one day. How would you feel? You were in a new territory and did not know where to find food, even though it was a, you know, very fertile land. Would you not have asked God, "Do you not care for me anymore? Are you absent in my life?" I would have. Note exactly when the manna stopped for an answer. Verse 10, Israel celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month. Are you familiar with that? 14th day of the month, that's the same day that God designated to begin the Passover celebration that we celebrated on Monday, Thursday, the same day, right? Jewish calendar starts in the evening, so Monday, Thursday starts the Passover. Following Friday is the day of Passover, but the Passover starts on Monday, Thursday. So they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th day. Verse 11, the day after the Passover, what is it? The day after the Passover, that is Saturday. That's Sabbath, right? They ate produce of the land. Well, you know, they could do that. You know, in these days, usually on Sabbath, Jews do not go buy food and work on Sabbath, right? But I think they were allowed to gather fruit or crop for their meal on the Sabbath because it wasn't actually laboring to produce. Verse 12, manna ceased on the morrow. This is, I refer to different translations to get the exact dating of, you know, when the manna stopped. And the translation we read does not exactly indicate it. But the following day, that is the day after the Sabbath, manna ceased. What day is it? Sunday. On Sunday, manna ceased. So, they ate the produce on Sunday, the produce of the land. Now we know, as Jesus acknowledged, manna is the foreshadow of the coming Messiah. And in John 6, Jesus said, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." That's Jesus. Jesus is the heavenly manna and the giver of manna. And that's his nature too. Jesus is our sustainer. He sustains us with manna. And that nature that he sustains doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the physical manna might have stopped, but Jesus provides a new kind of manna from the day of resurrection. Right? That's what it means. If you look at the fact that the manna sees from the messianic perspective, even though the physical manna may have stopped, on Sunday, there was a new manna that Jesus provided with this resurrection, because that's his nature. That's not going to change. We can rely on him. We can trust in his sustaining grace. But when we go to that new territory, when we experience some changes in our life, and God knows exactly what's going on, the new changes, new environment, and the way that God operates, the way that God feeds us, provides us, changes. But what we do? We may not understand the new manna, a new way of God's operation. And that's where our question and doubt comes in. Listen to the following story that was reported on an Eastern paper some years back. One evening, a woman was driving home when she noticed a huge truck behind her that was driving uncomfortably close. She stepped on the gas to gain some distance from the truck. But when she sped up, the truck did too. The faster she drove, the faster the truck did. Now scared, she exited the freeway, but the truck stayed with her. The woman then turned up a main street, hoping to lose her pursuer in traffic, but the truck ran a red light and continued the chase. Reaching the point of panic, the woman whipped the car into a service station and bolted out of a car, screaming for help. The truck driver sprang from his truck and ran toward the car. Yanking the back door open, the driver pulled out a man hidden in a back seat. The woman was running from the wrong person. From his high vantage point, the truck driver had spotted a would-be rapist in the woman's car. The chase was not his effort to harm her, but to save her, even at the cost of his own safety. Did the woman understand the intention of the truck driver? Not at all. There was something new, a new situation, and she had no knowledge whatsoever. Sometimes our situation goes like that. We do not always understand God's will for us, especially God's new way of provision and guidance. some people call the new way of God's operation, right? In this kind of situation, you know, you are in the new territory, a new situation, and you are not familiar with with where you are in life, and you know, God, fully knowing where you are, provide the thing that you need in the new place, in the new situation. Some people call that kind of situation and the way of God's operation, God's blessing in disguise. You are familiar with that phrase, right? God's blessing in disguise. Or God's operation in mysterious ways. I found a quote on the web that says, God works in mysterious ways. We won't understand everything that happens in our life, but we can be sure that God will take care of us. Jesus is the living manna. Jesus may not feed us with the physical manna. He just stopped all of a sudden the manna that he feeds, you know, all this time for the last 40 years. But that doesn't mean God doesn't care, that Jesus is not there. We can trust that he surely will feed with a different kind of manna, with a spiritual manna. We may not see it out there in the world, but we can find it inside of our hearts. God works in our hearts instead. The old manna may cease, but God has a new one in store for us. As the landscape of our life changes, finding the traces of Jesus may become a challenge, but we can be sure that God is behind everything that goes on in our life and gives us a new grace and mercy without fail. Amen.
Now, offerings may be mailed to the church office or put in a plate in the entrance.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power obliges. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Dear Lord Jesus, we stand before your cross and remember your great unconditional love for us. So, Lord, we give you thanksgiving as we recognize your love, your sacrifice for us. With your love, O Lord, you have led us this far, and with your presence, with your grace, we'll continue on, serving you, loving your people. So, Lord Jesus, receive this offering of our recommitting ourselves to you and to your service, and bless all we do that we may be a builder of your kingdom in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please sing hymn 378, Amazing Grace, verses 1 through 3.
Constantly move from one place to the other, from one situation to a new situation. And in this constant changes, O Lord, we sometimes do not find you in your grace. But as you have reminded us once more, Lord, you know our need, you know our situation, and sustain us with your new grace and new mercy. May we hold on to you regardless, trusting that you are there for us and with us. And with this message of your eternal presence and your nature of sustaining us, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each time. as strong and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there watching from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith, and in